This sermon is brought to you by Shofar East London. Together, living out the fullness of Christ. We hope you enjoy this message.
So are you stressed at times? Who's stressed at times? Raise a hand. Okay. Who is sometimes anxious about tomorrow, the future? Okay, come on, let me make sure I'm speaking to the right people. Worried about putting food on the table or having enough for retirement or maybe where the next paycheck is going to come from. You see, the human condition, our fallen nature, is to worry about things, to worry about tomorrow, to worry about provision, to stress about things that eat at us. You know, they've said that 90% of the things we worry about never happens, but yet we stress and wonder and roll around because of it. Our Heavenly Father has a better plan for His children. He has both peace and provision planned for you. And so the challenge is to step out of the place of anxiety and worry and stress and to step into peace and provision. Okay, so that's what I want to help you guys with this morning, to step into that place of peace and God willing supernatural provision, because that is His heart. And I think especially in this season, you know, the turmoil of the season, there's so many voices, so many reports, negative reports, and all those things can add to stressing us up and making us anxious and ultimately make us feel tormented with worry. So you can have millions of rands and still be stressed. It's not about the amount that you have. It's rather the amount of faith that you and I place in our Heavenly Father. Okay, so how do we shift over to a place of real faith? So that's what I want to answer this morning. So the nature of following Jesus is that causes us to make bad financial decisions at times. So in my walk with God, Sonic and I multiple times have made terrible financial decisions in following Jesus. I studied engineering. I finished my master's degree, or was in the process of finishing my master's degree. And I was on the student council of the University of Stellenbosch. It was my second year on the council, and I was elected onto the senior board. The only two students sit on the senior board, and other very important, famous, wealthy people sat there. So I was rubbing shoulders with the Christo Visses of this world, the G.T. Ferreras, Rand Merchant Bank, head of Sanlam, head of Old Mutual, politicians. I mean, I was like, in the natural, I was like, man, I am on my way to make it in life. I'm married to a chartered accountant, and they make good money. I'm finishing my master's degree. I'm rubbing shoulders with important people. I'm applying for management consulting jobs, you know, so I'm going to be a high flyer. I'm going to make a whole lot of money for Jesus. And then the Lord led me in a different direction. He said, go and work at the church. So I went to work for the church, and I made myself available, and I was going to obey Jesus, so I was willing to work for nothing. In the end, they paid me something, but it was extremely small salary for many years. So even at my best times, my wife earned about 4+ times what I was earning. Challenge to the male ego. But so that was a terrible financial decision to leave my career and to just follow Jesus, to my parents' despair. 6 years of studying, and then, what are you doing? And then as the years progressed, around 2008, we before that built a house in Cape Town, and then we felt the Lord call us to come to East London. So we had to let go of everything that side and move here. Again, a terrible financial decision. So our house in Cape Town stood empty for 8 months, still having to pay a bond while we had a baby, and my wife, who makes the money, was not working. So figure that one out. That was stressful. But I discovered God's faithfulness in all of that, his provision and his blessing. I just still don't know how we came through all of that. But we lost hundreds of thousands of rands on the sale of that house. Hundreds of thousands of rands. A terrible financial decision to follow Jesus. And then, end of 2009, the church was growing, and then Sonica was working at PricewaterhouseCoopers for about 11 years, and then we made a brilliant decision that she would resign her job and come and work at the church so she can really have a massive earning. So, I'm kidding. She was making a fraction of what she was making at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Again, a terrible financial decision. But the measure of intangibles that we have experienced, the blessings of God that we have experienced through each one of those decisions, it is indescribable. You can't put a value, a financial value, on obedience to Jesus. To see lives transformed, to see God's kingdom come, to see the blessing on our marriage, to see the experience, the peace and the joy and all that God did through those steps of obedience. It's been incredible. And I believe that is the nature of following Jesus, especially if you want to experience him as the Lord, your provider. You need to step out and follow him. His ways, not your own ways. And then you experience peace and joy and blessing and all of the rest. Okay, so I want to help us today into contending for peace and provision. Supernatural blessing over our lives. But it takes steps of faith. It takes risk to follow the Lord. Okay, so I have two helpers with me today. I have, from DC Comics, the Joker. And then we have very good news that Lego Batman, well done. So after years of being morbidly depressed and just wearing black, now he's happier and he's found some peace and it's just wonderful. And Joker's like, oh, no, man, no. A Christian Batman. Can you imagine that? A happy Batman. No, I can't stand it. Oh. Yo, man, just calm down, calm down, calm down. Everything's going to be fine. Okay, so Batman is now saved. He's a Christian, and he's going to give us some commentary today just to help us, okay? And then the Joker, he's represents the flesh. The wrong way of thinking, and so forth. And he says things like, oh man, I haven't been in church very often. That's going to be an interesting morning. Indeed, indeed, Joker, it's going to be brilliant. Thanks for joining us. Okay, so Batman says to us, always be yourself. Unless you can be Batman, then always be Batman. Yes, thanks, Batman. Bring us into the game. Okay, because real men follow Jesus, huh, Batman? Yes, real men follow Jesus. Right, so rule number one is Batman is always right. Rule number two, if he's wrong, go back to rule number one. Okay, so just remember that he's speaking the truth. Okay, so who's the boss in your life? I'm sure some of the men would say, well, that's easy, my wife. Could be. Batman says, well, obviously, Alfred, my butler, he is the boss. True, true, true. Okay, so let's look at what Jesus says about why it is so important to answer this question. Who is the boss in our lives? So Matthew 6:24, this is Jesus speaking. Now, maybe some context. Jesus spoke more about stewardship and finances than almost any other topic. Why? Because it's about our hearts. He's after our hearts. So he wants to come and speak to us about where our hearts are at. So he says here, no one, come on, say no one, can serve two masters. No one can serve a Batman voice and a Joker voice. You're going to go nuts, okay? You can't obey both of them. So you can't obey the Holy Spirit and the flesh. It's going to be crazy. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon speaks about the spirit of money or materialism. You cannot serve both. So it's been said that the daily battle for the believer isn't between serving God or the devil, but rather between serving God or our stuff. Who are we going to follow? I mean, that's a challenge for me and Sonica over the years. Going to follow the money? Going to follow Jesus. Going to follow the money? Or going to let go? Who are you going to follow? That is the test. I'm wondering how many sincere believers in Christ are outside of the will of God today because they followed the money and they didn't follow Jesus. Okay, so I want to help us to step into the spirit and out of the flesh. So it says they're loyal to the one and despise the other. So imagine this, if you are loyal to money or loyal to materialism or loyal to pursuing worldly success, the result is you will despise Jesus or aspects of his word. You will despise. It actually says there as well, for you will hate the one and love the other. So if we love money, if you can read 1 Timothy 6, speaks about those who love money, they go astray and they pierce themselves through with many, many sorrows because it's another spirit that we are following and leading us into destruction. So ultimately you will hate, if you love money, you will hate aspects, and obviously we're going to say, well, I hate Jesus, but we're going to, aspects of what is, of his commands, aspects of his word. I've seen this so many times, especially when it comes to, you know, giving and finances. People are like, whoa, you know, anti-church, anti-community, you know, because they've like heard the voice of the Joker. The church is just after your money. Pastors, they're just after the money. Yeah. No, the truth is we are not in the ministry for the money. We're in the ministry because we're following Jesus. We're in the ministry because we want to see lives transformed. So don't fall for those lies of the enemy. And obviously there are some scary preachers out there that do injustice to the name of Jesus. Okay, but we're not talking about them today. Okay, so I've heard some stats even from of divorce stats in the U.S. They say about like 50% of divorces, one of the reasons would be about finances. One of the two or both, because of excessive materialism, would mismanage finances and it would cause such strain on the relationship. So it is a major, major issue. Are we truly serving Jesus, or have we allowed the spirit of mammon to get a hold of our hearts? So let's break out of that. There are so many that say, man, Jesus is my Lord and I'm serving him. But if you just scratch under the surface, then he's like, wow, no, actually, you're serving the money. You're following worldly success and you want God to bless what you're doing. Jesus isn't Lord. I've had multiple discussions with younger men over the last while, and I picked up in my discussion with them, some of them like so offended with God, like why God is not good and he messed up my life and why didn't he come through when I started this business venture and why didn't he? And as I was listening, I realized, hey, you're not following Jesus, you're following the spirit of mammon. And you want God to bless you in what you're doing instead of following him. And now you're blaming him and offended with him. So it's quite a few powerful moments where the lights went on in my discussions with people. Where like, wow, you're right. I have been following another God. Okay, so may the lights come on this morning as we evaluate our hearts and where we are at. Okay, so who's the boss? Who's Lord? Who You see, there's this powerful thing that happens that when you make God owner of your life, owner of your business, owner of your family, owner, Lord and Master, then the burden shifts to Him. I was speaking to a businessman this week, and he need to apply for contracts and things, and clients need to accept their proposals so that they can have income, and it's a bit quiet the last few weeks or so. And then I just loved what he said. He said to me, "But this business belongs to Jesus, and I know He will provide. He is the owner of this business." I could see the faith, and he's been through stuff over the years where he's previously did it his own way and things blew up. He was in the flesh, and then he shifted to, "No, God, Your way. You're the owner. This is Yours. I'm following You." And now he's experienced this incredible blessing over his business and over his life, but he has brought divine order into his business and ultimately into his heart. Okay, so when we make ourselves the boss, then we tend to push God out of the way, and then you become the provider. Then you need to make it happen. Then you are unfortunately on your own. And the love of money tends to cause us to go astray. It's often been said, money is a good servant, but a bad master. In other words, a good servant, that if money serves us and we serve Jesus, then money extends the kingdom of God and lives are changed. But if money is the boss, then we will find ourselves in the flesh. We will find ourselves anxious. We will find ourselves worried. We will find ourselves moving out of the will of God. Okay, so let's get back into the Spirit. So Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, your provider. And He is the Lord, your provider, when He is Lord. As He says, "Hey, He's my provider. Yes, Jesus, bless what I'm doing." No, that's not how it works. He's Lord, your provider, when He is Lord, when it's His ways. So God is, in a sense, saying to us, "I am your provider, but it's on my terms, not yours. I am the boss, not you." So we cannot use God. God is able to read our hearts. He understands our thoughts. You can't use God. So let's shift our hearts into a healthy space. Okay, so heart check. Where are you at? Those at home, where are you at? Are you using God for selfish gain? Or are you serving God for His glory? Which is it? Or are you somewhere on that spectrum? Let's shift into that good space. Let's make Him the Lord of our lives. Let's get the spirit of mammon, this false god, out of our hearts, out of our lives. Because that means peace and ultimately provision. Okay, so flesh versus spirit. I shared a few weeks ago about the boxing ring of the flesh. That there's this environment where the devil is king, is the king of the flesh. So if you step into the flesh, or which is your sinful nature, and you know, selfishness, selfish ambition, greed, anxiety, fear, any negative emotion, then you step into that flesh. And then that's where you lose. You always lose when you're in the flesh. But if you step into the spirit, which is trust, which is bring glory to God, which is obedience, which is following His ways, then you step into a place where you have peace and provision. So when we follow the flesh, we fend for ourselves. You're the provider. When we follow the Spirit, then God feeds us. God puts food on the table. He is Jehovah Jireh, and He steps onto the scene. You see, when God is our source, that means we shift our trust away from my salary, my earthly boss, or any other means or people. We shift our trust away from people and earthly measures to God. In other words, God can give you another job. He's the source. God can have another income stream that He can bring into your life because He is the source. It's not the earthly things that are the source. And so Joker comes sometimes and whispers in our ears, "Ah, if you just had more money, or that latest Apple Mac that JP spoke about last week, or that house, that bigger house, yes, then you will be happy." No, that's a lie. No, that's not so. No, no, no. Batman says, "No, I was the head of Wayne Enterprises. I'm a billionaire. I still didn't have peace. I still was miserable. I still couldn't crack a joke. But now, I've given my life to Jesus. And man, I have peace. It's beautiful." So, thanks, Batman. That's good stuff. I wonder how many offended Christians are out there who expected God to bless what they were doing their way, and they didn't get blessed or didn't come through, and they're offended with God now. No, get onto His page. Get onto His wavelength. We are His servants. He is not ours. Okay, so a few flesh traps that we can fall into. Flesh trap number one, trust in man. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 6. I often come back to this scripture. It just really speaks to me. It says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed." Come on, say cursed. "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength." In other words, someone that lean, you trust in your bank account, you trust in your job, you trust in earthly things, you trust in your retirement. "Makes flesh his strength." And he says, "whose heart departs from the Lord," because you're trusting in something else. No, lean into the Lord. Put your faith in Him. It says, "For he shall be like a shrub in the desert." Are you seeing the lack? "Shall not see when good comes." You're just going to be anxious and worried. "But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and salt land which is not inhabited." That is not nice. That is cursed. You're like, because your heart is not right. So that shift needs to happen. But if God is our source, then our heart must go to Him. So then the following few verses, the good news. It says, "But blessed," come on, say blessed. "Blessed is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord." I love that. It just feels like you want to worship when you read that. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes." Will not fear when the difficult time comes. "But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious." Come on, say not be anxious. "In the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." I love that. In other words, flourishing in every season of your life, simply because of your heart-to-heart connection with God. So the key here is to trust in the Lord, to lean into Him, to be in the Spirit. Then you will not fear, then you will not be anxious, and then you will flourish in every season of your life. So what if circumstances are never the issue? What if adverse circumstances are never the issue? Difficult economic situations are not the issue. What if that is not the problem? But rather, the issue is the issues of our hearts. When the state of the heart is right with God, then you're able to step into the Spirit. And then you're able to be planted at that river of life, and your roots grow down, and you flourish even when it is supposed to be a time of hardship. You see, as the Word of God says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph." Come on, say always. Always leads us in triumph. So you need to be in the Spirit so that He can lead you. You need to be in the Spirit so that you can receive wisdom into how you should structure your finances, or where you should apply for a job, or what you should do. You should be in the Spirit, because then God can lead you into triumph. But when you're in the flesh, then you do stupid and you stress yourself out of your mind. So step into the Spirit, not the flesh. He wants to lead you. I mean, how can we not win in life with a creator of the universe on our side? How can you not win? How can you not have food on the table? How can you not overcome in life when God, the God of the universe, is on your side? But if you want him to be on your side, then you need to be on his side. Okay. You need to step into that space where you are on his side. He is able. He is passionate about providing for us, but we need to step into the Spirit. So this is the truth I want to highlight. When your heart is right, the future looks bright. When your heart is right, the future looks bright. You're going to see the future differently, and you're going to be able to respond as God leads you. And his resources are unlimited. He is able to make a way where there seems to be no way. I've experienced this so many times in my life. God, I have no idea. I have no idea how you're going to do this, God. I have no idea how you're going to solve this. Especially, I remember when our house in Cape Town was standing empty for 8 months and my wife wasn't working and we started a church. We had a small group of people. It's like, was I absolutely crazy? And then somehow there was food on the table. God is faithful. Come on, say it. God is faithful. You need to lean into him. He is faithful, but you need to trust him to step into his ways, to trust him to step into the path that he's leading you. Our hearts are the source of life and our connection with God. Everything flows from there. Everything flows from there. Okay, so flesh trap number two, fear. Now, if I was making one of my videos, you would have like a whoosh. So I'm just adding the whoosh there. So what can sometimes happen is that, you know, maybe you lacked in the past, or maybe you grew up at times there wasn't enough food, or you were struggling, and you know, that fear can drive us. Fear of failure, fear of lack, it can like push our buttons and freak us out. That can trigger you. So I was in the past, we visited a retirement financial advisor, and then the lady would explain to us that we are not saving enough for retirement. They always tell you that. You're always like way below. It's like, you know, so they're explaining to you how terrible your future is going to look if you don't up your game. And I would always just respond with, oh, my trust is in the Lord. And, you know, you know, you can only do so much, but my faith is in the Lord. And I was thinking of my dad. You know, my dad passed away last year, April. And since the age of 25, he was always focused on his retirement. He was always like anxious about retirement. He was like, man, it was all about retirement. He was always playing things safe. And even when my parents divorced, he was still just fighting for the retirement funds. And all he took out was retirement funds. And so for 45 years, he saved for retirement. And then at the age of 70, he now officially retired. And then he died of a heart attack last year, April. So I'm thinking 45 years with one mission. I want to have enough to retire without stress. And he's no longer here. What a waste. How much could he have done for the kingdom of God? How much could he have invested in other people? So that speaks to me. And obviously, it's wise to plan for retirement. You should save. You should be responsible. You should be a good steward. But you probably shouldn't save so much that you don't need to trust in Jesus. Don't lean upon your bank account or your retirement or your, don't lean into those things. Lean into the Lord. He is faithful. Amen. Come on, say it. God is faithful. He is faithful. He makes a way. He makes a plan. So contend for faith and don't allow the enemy to mess you around. So, Batman says, you can't be a hero if you only look out for yourself. So don't do that. Batman, good word. Good word there. In other words, what happens is when fear and anxiety gets a hold of our hearts, we move into self-preservation. We only think about ourselves. And the kingdom of God is no longer extended. We just protect self. Okay, you can't be a hero if you're only looking out for yourself. You can't make a difference when you're only looking for yourself. You need to step into faith and then follow the Lord as He leads you. Contend for faith and then follow the Lord. Okay, so how do we break out of the flesh? Colossians 3, such a powerful scripture. It says, for you died to this life. That's who you are, the old you. You died to this life. And your real life is hidden with Christ in God. I love that. The old you, the stressed, anxious, worried you, is dead in Jesus. Died with Christ at the cross. The moment you commit your life to Jesus, the old you is dead. The flesh is dead. Come on, say it. I'm dead. The anxious me is dead. Okay, so Jesus died for all your worries, all your anxieties, all those things. He nailed it to the cross. And your real life is now hidden with Christ in God. Come on, see that. I love that picture. You are hidden in Christ. You are protected. You are provided for. Your real life is hidden with Him in God. You have a place with Him at the right hand of the Father. You are safe in that space. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. Love that. Who is your life? You know, so, I mean, that's why Sonic and I, when we just do what the Lord leads us to do, we just follow Him because He's our everything. He is our life, and I have seen the fruit of stepping out and just following Him as He leads. So you don't need to step into the flesh. You're free. You're free to be filled with His peace, filled with His goodness. So look at this, John 14, verse 1. This is now Jesus speaking. So your anxiety, your worry, your stress, it's all been nailed to the cross. You are not an anxious person. Come on, say it. I am not an anxious person. Stop speaking that over yourself. I am not an anxious person. You need to speak the truth. Agree with God. And then you need to receive what Jesus has purchased for you. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So he's saying trust. Trust. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus has paid for you. Now trust. Then John 14, 27. Jesus saying, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Isn't that beautiful? The anxious you is dead. You are now in Christ. Your life is hidden in Him. And now He gives you peace. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. God will make a way. Come on, say it. God will make a way. He will make a way. He will make a way. So now the question is honor. Let's look at this. Colossians 3 verse 1. It says there, since you have been raised to new life, you've been raised to new life with Christ, you're seated with Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Now I say, so set your sights on the realities of heaven. In other words, we know earthly goods are just for a season. Life is short. Eternity is what matters. And then it says, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Jesus is already enthroned. He is seated at the place of honor. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. He's glorious. He's clothed in glory. He is seated in the place of honor. But now the question is, you know, like we worshiped this morning, it was beautiful. Yo, it was like the presence of God is so beautiful. And it's, I mean, that's part of bringing honor to God. God, we worship Him. We surrender our lives to the Lord. But now there's another aspect of honor when it comes to our finances, when it comes to our material possessions. And it gives us a key to access Jehovah Jireh. Gives us a key also in terms of breaking free from the spirit of mammon on our hearts. So look at this, Proverbs 3, verse 9 to 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Honor the Lord with your possessions, another version says, and with the first fruits of everything you produce. Okay, and yeah, the key is then verse 10, then he will fill your barns with grain. You're accessing his supernatural provision. And it says your vats will overflow with good wine. No, new wine. And new wine in New Testament context speaks of the presence of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. It speaks of the intangibles of life. So he's saying, if you honor the Lord materially, financially, then you begin to access in the natural, his supernatural blessing, and his spiritual blessing. And we see this in the book of Acts with the early church. These guys were like, they sold everything. Everything. They sold their properties. They were like, Jesus. They were willing to die for the Lord. They were willing to give their all for Jesus. And the result was this massive revival. The new wine that was poured out that stirred this revival. And their world was changed. So there's something so powerful here of stepping into that place of trust. When we honor the Lord with our possessions, when we honor the Lord with our wealth and the first fruits, then the blessings flow into our lives. Okay, so what does honor look like? Well, before I share what that looks like, you can go read it at home for yourself, but Malachi chapter 1, the prophet speaks through Malachi to the people of God. Now you see, in Israel, they had, God gave them this traditions or commands that they had to bring offerings to the Lord. And they were literally like a lamb or a sheep, and the animals would be slaughtered and the blood would cover their sins. Now obviously with Jesus, it was fulfilled in Jesus in terms of the blood sacrifices. But the principle was still, God was saying, bring your best to God. And so the prophet speaks to God speaks to Malachi, and he speaks to Israel, and he says, guys, God is not impressed. You're not giving him the honor that he is due, because you're bringing maimed and lame and blind and broken lambs, and you're bringing the worst of the flock. You're not bringing the best. And so he actually asked him, would you bring this to your governor? Would you bring a lame, maimed, broken, messed up gift to your governor? And they said, but where's my honor as the king? God is saying, as the king of the universe, where is my honor? Bring your best. So he challenges them on that. And I believe this is where the shift needs to happen on the inside of us. This is massive. Our giving, on Sundays we do like offering time, where we bring finances, we bring an offering. So it's massive because it represents our hearts. It represents our lives. Are we giving God the honor due his name? That is the challenge. So what would honor look like? And so a substandard offering would be something like, well, I'm holding on to too much for myself. Number two would be not bringing your first and best, but only leftovers at the end of the month. So let me bring Joker into this one. Let me come in here. My brilliant plan. I buy what I want. Often unnecessarily. And on credit. And then I see if there's something left at the end of the month, which isn't much. And then I expect God to jump through hoops to provide for my irresponsible behavior. And man, do
I get offended with God if he doesn't come through for me? And I'm so offended right now.
Yes, dude, you've got issues, man. Some serious issues. You need to go work on some of those things, man. But you're saying that the flesh is like, I live how I want, but then God still needs to bless. On credit, irresponsible, whatever I want, not leaning into God for guidance, for wisdom in terms of how I should live. So what would honoring God look like? Here's a list of a few things. And this is how Sonic and I live. Honoring God should be the first item on our budget. Not what's left at the end of the month. That's not honor. First item on the budget is that God, you are my source, I honor you. Secondly, then you work everything else around that. You make a plan because you want to honor God. Then you live within your means and you make the changes to live within your means. Then you sacrifice luxuries if you need to honor God. And then you seek first the kingdom of God. Those are a few things that I believe is important if we want to bring honor to God. So now the next question is, how much should we give? What is biblically speaking, how much should we give? Well, the first thing, it's about the percentage, it's not the amount. So if you're a billionaire and you give $100,000, God's not impressed. But if you're the widow that comes to the temple offering and you give your last few coins, then Jesus is impressed. He's not even seeing the rich folk that are tipping God. He looks at the widow that says, I trust in my God and I'm giving my all. Jesus is like, that is impressive and that I will bless. So God looks at the percentage, not at the amount. Secondly, when you go to the Old Testament, starting point was 10%, a tithe in terms of honoring God. And it started with Abraham. Didn't start with the law of Moses, started with Abraham. So Abraham won in battle and his response to God's blessing was 10% to honor God. And then we see it with Abraham's grandson, Jacob, when he had this incredible encounter with God. And he said, God, you're going to be my God. And as a sign of the covenant I'm walking with you, I'm going to give you 10% of everything you bless me with. A sign of covenant. This is 500 years before the law of Moses. I know some people say, oh, but it's legalism. If you feel tithing is legalism, then don't tithe. Give more. Give 15%, man. Just break through that legalism thing and go big. Because the New Testament is about extravagant giving. In the light of Jesus, in the light of God the Father who loved the world so much, how much did he give? Did he tithe? No. He gave his son. He gave his best because he loves us so much. He said, guys, I'm giving you my all. Amen. And so our response to honor God is to say, Lord, I'm giving you my best. I'm giving you my all. I'm going to honor you. You are worthy of honor. The New Testament is everything. I mean, the believers in the first few centuries after Christ, they died in the Colosseums. They were thrown to the lions. There is no issue with tithing, not tithing. No, just go big. Go big. Honor God with everything he blesses you. And then you're going to step into experiencing the Lord, your provider. So tithing is a good starting point, but New Testament is way beyond that. You want to be free from the spirit of mammon, materialism? Well, begin with tithing. It's not enough. If you really want to be free, you need to go to extravagance. So for Sonic and me, how we do it is first item on our budget, 10% gross income before tax, honoring God. And then we budget more for giving because we love to give. We're passionate about giving. And I believe you reveal the nature of God like few other things when you give. The nature of God is to give. So evaluate your heart when you kick against giving. the arguments, the flesh that comes and speaks. Is that the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Is that God leading you into trust? Or is it the enemy trying to get you in a place where money actually and anxiety and stress runs your life? ending of Philippians 4, 17 to 18. So Paul the apostle is speaking to the believers in Philippians, and he says, not that I seek the gift. So he challenged them to give. And he says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Guys, I want you to be wealthy in heaven. I want that to be added to your account. When you give for the cause of Christ, it is added to your account. Indeed, I have all, Paul says, and abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. And then, I love this, a sweet smelling aroma. It's like worship when we give unto the Lord. A sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. It should cost us something. It should cost us. And in our giving, it costs me. I can't just go and buy a new car. We must save, and it'll be secondhand one day. But that's good. It should cost us. It should be a sacrifice to follow Jesus. There should be a cutting to the heart. We can't just have it all. We can't. Maybe we should have a smaller home. Maybe have a smaller car or a less fancy car. Maybe we should not have that fancy gadget. Maybe something less. But it should be a sacrifice, because fire falls on a sacrifice. Come on, say it. Fire falls on a sacrifice. Amen. Amen. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. If he's Lord, let's make him Lord. Let's get the spirit of mammon, the spirit of materialism out of our lives. And when we give, it is a tangible sign of saying, God, I trust you. Philippians 4 verse 19, final verse. I want to speak this over you guys. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. In other words, God has no limit to his resources. There's no limit. He's gonna provide according to his glory. So do you want to live with your own means and your own measure and your own fleshly abilities? Or do you want to access the supernatural blessing of God? And then we need to step out. Then we need to trust him. And then verse 20, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Glory to the Lord. Amen. Worship team can join us on stage. And then, you know, when you think about the gospel, the good news, it's almost like too good to be true. It's like, wow, so Jesus died for us. He gave us himself. And now by just trusting in him, I can go to heaven and I can be blessed and he's my provider. Yes. But we sometimes forget, man, it includes, I need to pick up my cross. It includes, I need to follow him wherever he leads. It includes all the other component. He needs to be master and Lord of our lives. Okay. Amen. Good preaching, Andre. Good preaching. Like it. I like it. I like it. Come on. I'm in. Let's do it. We're going to do a few declarations just to stir our faith and to lead our hearts into the truth. So I'm just going to read it for us and then we're going to declare it. I trust in God, not man, for my provision. With God on my side, back. Just make sure you are on his side. Number 3, I renounce fear of lack and I receive faith in Christ. Next one, my God, you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, my provider. I abide in the nature of God. I am an extravagant giver. And lastly, we receive supernatural blessing over our resources for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Let's proclaim it. Let faith be unlocked in your heart as we proclaim this. Let's read it together. I trust in God, not man, for my provision. With God on my side, how could I ever fail? I renounce fear of lack and I receive faith in Christ. My God, you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. I abide in the nature of God. I am an extravagant giver. We receive supernatural blessing over our resources for the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's what I see in my mind's eye, a people who trust in God, a people who follow Him, a people who give as He leads, a people who are walking in the Spirit, seeking first the kingdom of God so that lives can be transformed. Step out of anxiety into faith. So, Father, we release your blessing over your people. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to know you as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider, the God who's faithful and powerful and with us. And so, Lord, right now, God, we contend for blessing over hearts, over businesses, over our work, over our salaries, over our income, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak to the little foxes that come to steal finances and to frustrate and things that break and just challenge us. In the name of Jesus, we renounce them. And so, God, we pray for hearts to be made right with you, free from fear, free from anxiety, honoring the Lord on every level, in worship, in our finances. God Almighty, come and have your way in our hearts. You are our source. You are faithful. In Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening. Find more on Shofar East London's podcast channel. Let's do life together.